All right, so I apologize for the technical difficulties. I've been away for 6 weeks, so when someone asked about Three Streets this morning, I'm like, I don't know, it's all on me, I apologize. But no, the Three Streets Initiative, for those of you who are new or don't know, we want to minister to the three streets directly in front of the church here, and we will be in short order going door to door, kind of alerting them that we're here, we're going to give them a gift, we're going to, you know, promote our VBS. But while that's the actionable item that we're doing for the three streets, my prayer is that you will be praying for all the households on those three streets. There are over 85 houses just on Bailey Road, Montview, and I forget the name of the other one over here. I apologize. When I don't have notes, I forget things, so I apologize. But just remember that. My name is Ralton Emery. For those of you who may have come and joined us in the last 6 weeks or so, I've been preaching at Pond Grove Baptist Church, but I'm one of the elders here. Pond Grove is currently without a pastor, and I've been filling in for them. But this was kind of already set for today. But I do ask you to pray for Pond Grove. It's a church in Rockwood. They're without a pastor currently and kind of searching. They're down to about between 8 and 15 people who attend. They need our prayers, but however, I will tell you, they have been praying for you. As I have been filling in for them, they have been praying for this church and the ministries here at Fireside Fellowship. So for those of you who are also new, we are going through the book of 1 Corinthians. I find it very ironic that the senior pastor leaves the one Sunday that we come to the passage where we're talking about pastoral pay. I don't know about that. But we are working through our way through 1 Corinthians. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll look at the first 18 verses. The first 18 verses. If you don't have a Bible, there are some Bibles in the pews. We would love for you to pick that up and actually follow along with us. It's on page 650 of that Bible if you don't have a Bible of your own. And if you don't have a Bible of your own, we would like to gift you that Bible. If there happens to be one that's a little bit worn, let us know. We'll happily replace that. We would love for you to take that home, keep it, read it, study it. And if you would like help studying the Scripture, we would love to open up the Scripture with you and walk through the Scriptures with you. We would love for you to do that because we think that it's very, very important for us to dive into God's Word because this is the love letter that He has written to us. So the beauty of going through the books, verse by verse, passage by passage, is you do deal with all the topics that are in these passages. We don't pick and choose. And today we will be looking at a plethora of items, one of them being the church's pay to the pastor. But we'll dive into that as we go. So let's pray as we begin. Dear Lord, I heard Alistair Begg one time say that if his congregation could look at his heart and the sin of his heart, that they wouldn't want him to preach to them. And that's the same here this morning. If they saw my sinfulness, they wouldn't want to hear me preach. But in the same token, just as he said, if I knew their sins, the congregation's sins, that I wouldn't want to preach to them. But the glory and the blessing is that you know our sins and you love us anyway. And dear Heavenly Father, as we look to your word this morning, as we look to the Scriptures, we just ask that you open up our eyes to what you would have us learn. Open up our eyes to where we don't glorify you as we ought. Maybe think of ourselves more highly than we should. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit will move in this place. And if there's someone here this morning who may question the claims of Christianity or may question the fact that you even exist, I pray that your Holy Spirit will deal with them as we study. I thank you and I praise you. I ask now, dear Lord, that you be with Pond Grove as they're having their services this morning. We ask that you protect that church, build that church up for a ministry there in Rockwood. We just ask that you be gloried through that, that souls will be saved through that ministry. And we just praise you for allowing us to be able to pray for other believers in Christ. We thank you and we praise you, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 1. Paul the apostle is writing to the Corinthian church and he says, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord. Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, at least I am to you, because you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this: don't we have a right to eat and drink? Don't we have a right to be accompanied by a believing wife like the other apostles and the Lord's brother and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I have no right to refrain from working? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruits? Or who shepherds a flock and does not drink the milk from the flock? Am I saying this from a human perspective? Doesn't the law also say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, "Do not muzzle an ox while it treads out grain." Is the Lord really concerned about oxen? Isn't he really saying, "For our sake"? Yes, this is written for our sake, because he who plows ought to plow in hope, and he who threshes ought to thresh in hope of sharing of the crops. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it too much if we reap material benefits from you? If others have this right to receive benefit from you, don't we even more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right. Instead, we endure everything, so that we may not hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who perform the temple services eat the food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the offerings of the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should earn their living by the gospel. For my part, I have used none of these rights, nor have I written these things that they may be applied in my case. For it would be better for me to die than for anyone to deprive me of my boast. For if I preach the gospel, I have no reason to boast, because I am compelled to preach, and woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if unwillingly, I am entrusted with a commission. Then, what then is my reward? To preach the gospel and to offer it free of charge and not make full use of my rights in the gospel. This is God's word. Grace be to God. So here we see a passage that is fitting in the book of 1 Corinthians at a time where Paul is talking to the church and kind of answering the church's question, right, about what are the church's rights. He starts in talking about food sacrificed to idols and marriage and refraining from marriage and all of these things. And he's continuing along that theme. And while he's continuing along the theme of thinking of others more highly than thinking of ourselves, he brings up a lot of points in this passage. There's a lot of things that we can look at. The main theme of the passage, though, stays consistent with his theme that he's been going through, of the fact that we should, you know, refrain from eating of foods sacrificed to idols if it causes others to stumble. We should, think of others more highly than ourselves. But in doing so, he calls witness of himself and brings up a lot of points about how, number one, he defends his apostleship in verses 1 and 2 and 3, right? He talks about how he has been an apostle. Now, what's an apostle? If you look at the word, it just means sent one. But there were 12 apostles in Scripture, and Paul was the apostle born out of time, right? An apostle had to be someone who studied under Jesus, essentially. And so you had Peter, James, John, so forth and so on. And then Paul was removed from that group just a little bit because he saw Jesus in a different time frame. He saw post-resurrection Jesus, where they were taught pre-resurrection and post-resurrection. He was just taught post-resurrection. But he defends his apostleship, and he goes along and says, look, I'm an apostle. I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been taught by Jesus himself. I spent 3 years basically in the wilderness studying under Jesus, and so I am an apostle. Then he calls to remembrance the fact that even if some doubt his apostleship, the fact that the Corinthian church is actually there proves his apostleship. Because at least to them, he is one who was sent to them to proclaim the gospel. And so he talks about his apostleship. And he says, this is my right to boast in the fact that you're there and that I am an apostle. Then he goes on and he talks about the fact that since he is an apostle, he has rights that are commanded in Scripture. One of them being the fact that he can be paid. Another one being the fact that if he wanted to, he could marry. Now that dives into a lot of topics, right? That dives into a lot of things, right? So, you know, there's the issue there of marriage. We'll go there first. You know, our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters would tell you that priests shouldn't marry. Well, Scripture points to the fact that it's allowable. So we go by what Scripture says and not tradition. Now, obviously, right, as we've already looked in 1 Corinthians, that if it's more desirable for someone not to marry, that's fine. That's you know, between them and God. But if they have that passion and that desire and that burning, then they should marry. And Paul's saying, I have that right, but I'm giving up that right. And so we see this in Scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, he's talking about, and he calls witnesses, if you will, to the marriage issue. Right? He talks about all the other apostles, and he talks about Jesus' brother James, and he talks about Cephas. So he talks about Peter, because we know that Peter actually, in Scripture, has a mother-in-law because Jesus healed her. So to have a mother-in-law means you have to have a wife, right? So we see the fact that it's glorious that I got to marry Renee. And Kirill got to marry Nicole, and so forth and so on, because Scripture allows that for ministers of the gospel. But then he calls some more things. He calls witness of more things about how it is a command that the church take care of its ministers. Now, this poses a problem. At Fireside, we don't pay Kirill. I'll get to that in a minute. But the church is commanded to take care of their ministers. Why is that? Well, because they're doing work, right? He talks about it in the verses here. He says, you know, in verse 9, is it not written not to muzzle an ox as it treads the grain? And he uses that analogy saying, look, it's not written about oxen. It's written about the fact that if you're doing work, you should reap the benefits from the work. Right? And so that's what he's trying to talk about here. And he's saying, look, a church is commanded in Scripture to supply sustenance for those who are teaching and preaching and doing the work of the gospel. And he calls Old Testament references. He calls on passages from Deuteronomy. He calls on passages from other places, from Luke, actually. And that's another side topic, right? Paul is so good at weaving in these little things. He talks about something Jesus said that Luke wrote in the New Testament, which was quoting Deuteronomy then, and says it's all Scripture. Well, that proves that Luke was writing Scripture. So New Testament, Old Testament tie. New Testament is just as much Scripture as Old Testament. So there's a tie in there. Again, not the main point of the passage, but just something to bring out. But then he brings out the Old Testament passages, but then he calls out the Old Testament traditions, right, of those working in the temple, being able to take part and take their sustenance from the temple offerings. And we've seen that in the Old Testament. If you do any study of the Old Testament, you will see how the priests of the Old Testament tabernacle and temple were allowed to take cuts of the offerings for their food and for their sustenance. And there were parts that they were given and instructed through Scripture to take. And Paul's saying, look, I have this right as a proclaimer of the gospel, that because I am working for the gospel, that I should get paid, quote unquote. And he calls all these witnesses that we see in this passage. And the church, by and large, should look to take care of their ministers. It's commanded here. We don't pay Kirill. We don't pay our senior pastor. We don't pay anyone on staff, I don't think, maybe except the cleaning people, right, is the only one. So how do we answer that question? Well, number one, it's not just monetary gifts. That's part of it. And I'm not saying that's not something that we need to talk about. But it's sustaining and taking care of, praying for, and you know, that's a command given here in the passage. And so, you know, a church should want to take care of its pastor. A church should want to care for the ones who's feeding it day in, day out, shepherding the flock, being diligent on the work of the gospel, just like this, the passage says. So the question then comes, well, why don't we pay Kirill, or why is there such a thing as bivocational pastors? Or you know, in other places, Paul talks about how he was a tent maker, and he talks about how he didn't take anything from anyone and was self-sustaining. So there's a tension there that we see. Well, the church is commanded to be willing to take care of its pastor. The pastor, based on what we see here, doesn't necessarily have to command the church to pay them. Does that make sense? They can forgo this right, just like Paul is forgoing the right, for two very specific cases. Number one, it's going to put the church in a very bad position. If you look at the church of Philippians, the church of Philippi sent Paul a gift while he was in prison, and he thanked them for the gift, but he basically said, I didn't need it because I am blessed, and I know that you guys are working hard. You should have kept this money. So that's number one. But number two, a minister can forgo the fact that he, you know, the church is commanded to pay him. A minister can forgo that fact for the propagation of the gospel. This is a right that the minister has, but it's a right that the minister does not have to partake in if it means that the gospel is going to go forth. And there are a couple of ways that the gospel goes forth in these cases. First way, the church as a whole is being fed. The church as a whole is reaping the benefits of the gospel. The church as a whole is being activated as a mission field. And let's say the pastor is a tent maker, like Paul was in various where he calls out in various other places. Paul used that ministry to help spread the gospel. So if a bivocational pastor is helping spread the gospel through his vocation, that's a ministry. He's getting paid for the work that he's doing, but he's also sharing the gospel. But it's a ministry that the church should look at and say, we are thankful that God is using our ministers in that way, but we need to take care of them. If nothing else, offer them and pray for them and make sure that they're well taken care of. Now, what does that look like? It can vary. You know, everybody thinks about salary. Everybody thinks about all of this stuff, but it's taking care of, ministering to, providing sustenance for your ministers. And it's well within Paul's right. He says, look, I don't take any of those rights. I forgo all of those rights, just like I told you to forgo all the rights of eating food sacrificed to idols, because I want the gospel to go forth. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be the one that says, look how much they're paying that preacher. Look at that new car he's driving. Look at that house he lives in. Church is commanded to take care of the ministers. It's right here in black and white. God said so. So I would venture to say that it is a sin for a church not to take care of their ministers if the minister needs and doesn't forgo his rights. But as the Apostle Paul shares the example, he didn't take advantage of those rights because he wanted the gospel to be proclaimed. So these churches that say They want to keep the preachers humble. That's a sinful attitude. You know, we should pray to take care of our pastors. We should pray to take care of the ones who share the gospel with us, the missionaries who go out. We should support them. Those who are doing the work of evangelism, we need to support and pray for and provide sustenance for. And they can choose not to take it, and it's a good choice not to take it if the gospel is proclaimed. Bottom line. So we see here that Paul says, these rights are commanded. I'm not going to take advantage of them. And you shouldn't take advantage of them either, because it's the example you should follow of thinking about others more than ourselves. Look in starting in verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have no reason to boast. I'm not going to boast on the kingdom that I build, right? And the money I earn. I'm going to boast in the fact that I am compelled to preach Christ. And woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do it willingly, I have a reward. But if unwillingly, if I won't preach, if I'm not paid, right, then I'm entrusted only with a commission. Like I'm shelling out some kind of, I'm a salesperson. Paul says, look, I'm not a salesperson. Yes, the church is commanded to take care of the ministers. I'm not throwing anything out. I'm not a used car salesman. I forgo this because I want to proclaim the gospel, because I'm compelled, because there are people dying and going to hell. And so I forgo all my rights so I can preach Jesus. And in other places, Paul tells the church, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Right? So this is a call for us as well to imitate giving of ourselves to others, to imitate sharing the gospel as Paul shares the gospel with others and preaches and proclaims and uses our vocation to share the gospel with others. Whether you're a teacher, work at the lab, whether you're working in a medical facility, whether you're a homemaker, whatever your profession is, a mechanic, whatever you are, use your profession, just as Paul was our example, to share the gospel with others. Well, where does Paul get his example? Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. While we do imitate Paul, the apostle, he exhorts us to imitate him only as he imitates Christ. Verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2. Just listen to this passage and read along with me. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. And for this reason, God exalted him and gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Paul's example, our example, is Jesus. And look back at what that passage actually says in Philippians. You had Jesus, who was God, not use his rights, but said, I love my children enough to forgo all my rights as God, and I'm going to go down and take on human flesh, become human, suffer for them, live the perfect life they could not live, die a death in their place for the wrath to be put on him that we deserve. He forgo every right. He gave away every right that he had and said, I will suffer for them because I love them. So that attitude is one that we should emulate. But maybe you're here and you're questioning Christianity and you say, look, I've been hurt by Christians before of not living that way. I understand we all have. I've done it, and I apologize if I've hurt anyone here. I apologize to you, but we strive to be more like Christ each and every day. And if you're not a believer, think about what that passage said. That God, who had every right to stay in heaven and punish us for our sins, loved us enough that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if you hear nothing else that I say this morning, hear that. As a Christian, that's what we strive to be like. Yes, we will fail, and yes, we have forgiveness in Christ. As a non-Christian, there is no better news that you can hear that someone, the God of the universe, the creator of all things, the one who did not have to love us when we sinned, loves us so much that he forgo all his rights as God and says, I will become a servant, because that is how I receive glory, because I care for my children. I care for those who call upon my name and repent and believe in me. So the question begs this morning, have you believed in Jesus? And if you have, are you imitating Jesus? Are you taking advantage of the rights to the detriment of someone else? Are we as Christians taking advantage of the rights we have to the detriment of someone else? We need to take stock of our lives and say, maybe I don't need to take advantage of that right so I could propagate the gospel going forward. Just something to think about. And if you're not a believer, there's no better message that you can hear than the fact that Jesus came and died on the cross and rose again. So Paul, in the stream of 1 Corinthians here, when he talks about pastoral pay, yes, it's commanded of churches, but if the pastor or the minister does not take it or chooses not to take that right, that's great as long as they're doing it for the right reasons. Right? Because we see that, because Paul says, that's what I'm doing. But churches are commanded to try to take care of their ministers. But the big story, the big theme is Jesus and the fact that we're doing this for him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, so many times when we study Scripture, we preach and teach, we pick and choose what we want to look at and what we may want to preach that tickles the ears. But dear Lord, going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, passage by passage through a book, we talk about all sorts of issues about church life and how you deal with us. And we thank you, dear Lord, that you make means of paying those who minister and command other Christians to make sure they're sustained. But we thank you even more that that right can be given up in service to you. And dear Lord, the example this morning of Jesus coming down as a servant, giving up his rights as God to die on the cross for me, is something that I just cannot fathom. It's unimaginable love that we have, that you demonstrate. And I pray this morning, dear Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know you, who has not come to that realization that you provide a way out of wrath, a way out of hell, but more importantly, a way to have a relationship with you forever. I pray that your Holy Spirit will move this morning. I pray that you will allow this message to be embedded in their hearts, that they will cry out to you. And if there's anyone here who has any questions after the service, dear Lord, know that I'm available to have a conversation. Dear Lord, we want to just give all of this to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray.